Okay, we're gonna start here in 1 Timothy 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, but first would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study this morning your word and to fellowship around it, and we ask you, Lord, to lead us by your spirit and build us up in the faith. That let us not be dismayed about the things we can't understand, but let us simply believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people and to heal them according to thy will. And Father, give us the spirit and the ability to accept these things. And Father, we ask you this morning to be with the business that operates here, that you meet their needs, to keep the doors open. And Father, most of all, we ask you to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd ask y'all to pray for your teacher, me. Sometimes I get confused as what we need to do, but I know what the Lord would have us to do. And this is one of the issues that I believe we need to look into. What would God have man to do in his stead in this dispensation that we live in? And I believe this will be part of it. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And I wonder sometimes if our prayer life is up to snuff, if you let me use that term. I wonder if do we really pray for the leaders of our country, that somebody would get the truth to them, and they see that there ain't no way that they can make peace in the world. There's not going to be any peace in this world until the Lord rules with a rod of iron. And that's the only reason in the millennial reign that there will be any peace, is because the Lord rules with a rod of iron. And if you get out of line in there, it's Katie bar the door. There ain't no more hope for you. Now, watch what he says. Who do we pray for? For kings. For all that are in authority. Well, that doesn't exclude anybody, does it? That's everybody, ain't it?
Yes.
Verse 3. For this, the prayer for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. Reason. Verse 2. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Well, I don't believe we're living that way, are we?
No.
I don't believe we are. We live in turmoil. First thing you want to do, a lot of people say, well, get you a sign and go down there. If you don't like what so-and-so's doing, protest him. Now, what you ought to be doing, praying for him. What we ought to be doing is praying for him, that they would see the truth. Now, watch what he says. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Now that is a key in Paul's epistles to me. All men to be saved. Because if I put on the board up here, that Paul wrote 13 epistles, Romans to Philemon, which has to do with the church, which is his body. This is a church, and it's called his body. Those people that believe that Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, they died with him by identification in Christ. They believe that, and that alone for their salvation. The Holy Spirit baptizes them into this body. Now, there's a group of people that first trusted in Christ. During this time here, when Paul received the message that he received from the Lord on the road to Damascus, he said, I'm going to send you to these Jews and Gentiles. Paul went to the Jew and the Gentile. Jew first. You understand? And if you'll study and write some scriptures down, in Acts 13, verse 46, Paul told those Jews it was necessary that the word of God be first preached to you. But seeing you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Well, he's going to, in the book of Acts, everywhere Paul went, he went into the synagogue, and I'm going to say Acts 13. There was Barnabas and Saul, which his name has changed to Paul, were sent by the Holy Spirit to go to the Jew and the Gentile. Remember, Jew and Gentile. God, in this time here, was not operating on chapter 1, verse 4 that you just read. Now go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who, a reverence to God our Savior, verse 3, who will have all men to be saved. Was God at this time in here, those first six epistles that Paul wrote, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, did the Lord, was he sending Paul to all men? Do you know how you can prove he wasn't? We're going to do it this morning. I mean, if you believe your Bible, it means what it says. Now, God would have all men to be saved. There's a period of time when God would have all men to be saved. It wouldn't make any difference who they were, what nationality, or nothing. God would have all men to be saved. Now listen to me. When this body is full, we can leave out of here. You don't want to go? You don't want to stick around in this old rotten world?
No.
And it's getting... And listen, I ain't but so old, but I've seen so much change in my life, it's shocking. It is shocking. When I was a child, we would go off, very rare, but we would go off. My grandmother lived in Lansing, Michigan. We would go off to Lansing, Michigan and leave our house wide open. And I live by the railroad track. Y'all know what road the railroad tracks in them days? Hobos. Hobos. You can leave your house wide open. You can leave a loaf of bread on the table, the back door standing open. He could come to your house, but he would not dare go in your house and take that loaf of bread. You can't do that nowadays. You can't even sleep on the gun in your house nowadays. Somebody won't kick your door in. Yeah, I've seen a lot of change. But what took change in here that God would have all men to be saved? Would God have these people to be saved that do these things? Would he?
Yes.
Honestly now, do you believe that God Almighty would have a whore to be saved? A murderer to be saved.
Yes.
A pervert to be saved.
Yes.
Somebody like me to be saved.
Yes.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Well, what do we need to do then?
Share.
Need to share the gospel of Christ to them. What did Christ do when he died? He became what I am. He became what you are. He became what they are. God would have all men to be saved in this dispensation. In Acts chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Paul in the temple and gave him a dispensation called the dispensation of the grace of God. This back here is called the dispensation of the gospel. And it's called the gospel of God, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and that we were included in that, but it was a mystery hid in God before the foundation of the world. We'll say that's the foundation of the world. And before the foundation of the world, this mystery here that God would save anybody, regardless of who they are or what they are or what they've been doing or what they are still doing, God would have them to be saved. How can they be saved? Can they be saved by the gospel that Jesus Christ preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Let's say there's a blasphemer in here. Do y'all know what a blasphemer is? Really, do you? Talk to me. Do you really know what a blasphemer is?
Reject the Holy Spirit.
What is your idea of a blasphemer? Let's put it that way.
Reject the Holy Spirit.
You know what a blasphemer is? One that speaks against the Holy Spirit. Have you ever rejected the Holy Spirit?
Sure.
I know I have. But you know what? Even a blasphemer can be saved today. God would have all men to be saved, beloved. How can they be saved? A blasphemer can't be saved under the gospel of the kingdom back here. Once he spoke against the Holy Spirit, it's Katie barred the door. He can't be saved back here, nor over here on the other side over here, after the rapture of the church. The Lord deals with Israel in the 7-year tribulation, and they cannot deal with this time over here while we're here. We're withholding this time from being revealed. God cannot, listen to me, God cannot pour out His wrath on this world as long as His church is here. It fascinates me. I was watching the news, and I don't watch the news too often because it's upsetting. They don't show you good news. It's always bad news. Yeah. But I was watching it the other day, and I was seeing where they're having all these troubles over there in the Middle East over there. And you know what the first thing these countries did? Called their ambassadors home. Mm. That don't strike a bell with you? You know what we are? We're ambassadors. We're in a foreign land. And before God Almighty can pour out His wrath, He has got to get us out of here. He cannot pour out His wrath on mankind or this world as long as the church, the body of Christ, is here. He's got to get us out of here. So the last person may be sitting in here right now that you ain't never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Now, you may have gotten baptized. You may have walked the aisle. You may have joined the church. You may have said the sinner's prayer, but you ain't never really trusted that Christ died for you. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, one verse, verse 15. Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the gospel." That ain't what it said? Rightly dividing the Old Testament from the New Testament. That ain't what he said? Well, that's what a lot of people think it means. You know what he said? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, isn't the whole Bible the word of truth? Well, in other words, I reckon Jesus Christ and the Lord means for us to start back here in Genesis and start going through there and reading, well, I can handle this, so I'll accept that. I get over there and I see God says, Noah, build you an ark. I'm going to flood the world. So I get out there and I start building me an ark. And then I go on back and I read a little further. And he says, Noah, I'm not going to flood the world no more like that. So I'm going to build this ark no more. I just quit on that. I wasted all that time trying to build me a boat to save from the flood. And God put the rainbow in the sky. He said, when I look on it, I'll remember my covenant with all mankind that I will not destroy the world with a flood anymore. But now he's going to destroy it with fire. Well, I better get to getting me an asbestos suit or something else. I mean, you can take this Bible and make any doctrine you want to out. Now, let me show you the word of truth. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me ask you a question. If God meant in 2 Timothy 2:15 to rightly divide the Old Testament from the New, where would you start? Would you say this is Old Testament back here? In Genesis to Malachi? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes.
I would. That's Old Testament.
Okay.
Well, would you divide Matthew through Revelation?
No.
From the Old Testament?
No.
It is Old Testament.
It is.
Do y'all know when Jesus Christ was 8 days old, what they did to him? They circumcised him after the law of Moses. Well, beloved, this is still Old Testament. Well, the New Testament won't be made until the second coming. Well, you mean we got to live to get to the second coming to rightly divide the word of truth? There's got to be an answer if you believe your Bible. You see, we got a lot of even grace preachers that don't believe their Bible. They claim they do, but they don't. And how do you know they don't? Listen to them, what they tell you. Now watch what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Not on Christ, but in Christ. What did they trust? They trust the fact that when Paul preached to them, he took the Old Testament scriptures and he proved to these people who first trusted in Christ that Christ had died for their sins according to the scriptures. Now let's look at some of that. Go with me, hold Ephesians, and go to Romans chapter 16. You see, there are some people who first trusted in Christ. He didn't say own. Do you know how you spell in? You know how you spell own? You change one little old word, a letter, own. Does that mean the same thing? I'm in the building. Are we in the building?
Yes.
Are we on the building?
No.
No, it ain't the same. You know why? This is very important that you see this kind of stuff. Because these new translations, they change all of this right here so you can't see. And God told you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. You know who the us is? We who first trusted in Christ. How did he reveal it to them? By the Old Testament scriptures. Now watch what he says in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel. And Paul preaches my gospel three times. Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. And he said that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In other words, when Peter in Acts chapter 2 preached the resurrection of Christ, he preached that Jesus Christ would sit on the throne of his father over here. David being his father, he would sit on the throne of his father David. Paul preached the resurrection of Christ, that he was ascended up above all heavens. And when Christ went up, he didn't just take his head. He took his body. And I'm a member of his body. He's already resurrected me in AD 33 based on his foreknowledge, knowing who would trust Christ as their Savior and who would not. If you're sitting here and you ain't never trusted Christ and you won't ever trust Christ, God already knew that before the foundation of the world, and you did not go in AD 33 with the rest of us. You'll stay behind. And you know what you're going to do?
Believe
if you stay here believe till the tribulation comes, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God's going to send you a strong delusion, and that strong delusion is the Antichrist. And I challenge you to study the power that that character has. He has power to give life to a beast over here that's killed. He has power to make fire come down out of heaven. Do y'all know anywhere else that was tried?
Elijah.
Back here in the Old Testament,
Kings.
They tried to get that call on their God, to get fire to come down, and he wouldn't. Elijah called on to God, and came down, and he did what he told him he would. Now, Romans 16:25. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm sorry about that. I apologize for that. Let me do that again. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel. Is this Paul's gospel?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me show you something before we go too far. Go to Galatians. Take Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. You need to see these things. Because when you study, you need to know where to prove these things. Verse 11. Paul writing to the Galatians, but part of those who first trusted in Christ. And I'm going to show you something about them that's different. In verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, he surely didn't teach him that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul told those who first trusted in Christ, he said, follow me as I followed Christ. Well, he didn't follow Christ in his earthly ministry. He was persecuting those people. Go to, hold back. Hold Romans 16:25 and go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. The context, I won't read it all, but I'll just tell you what the context is. Philip has been told to go over and join himself to a chariot, to an Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch is reading out of Isaiah. Philip takes the same place and reads to him, and the eunuch asks him, he says, who is he talking about, himself or somebody else? And Philip explains to him who it is. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The question has come up. If you believe, what is he talking about? Look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Philip saith, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, and he baptized. You know your new translation leave out the most important part of that, and a lot of them leave the whole verse out. What's the most important part of that? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Did he believe that Jesus Christ died for him? Well, has he been crucified at this point?
Yes.
Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Peter preaching of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. And when Peter saw it, Peter's healed a lame man here now. This is the question come up about it. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel. Who is Peter talking to? Israel. He ain't talking to the church, the body of Christ, beloved. Acts 3:19 ain't got nothing to do with nobody in this world. Now watch who he's talking to. Why marvel you at this? Why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness he had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, desired a murder to be granted unto you, killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and in his name, through faith, is this man made whole, in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Go to verse 19. Repent ye. Who is he talking to?
Israel.
Talking to Israel. He ain't talking to me and you. Peter is talking to Israel. Jesus Christ came to Israel. He's confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Peter came to Israel. He's not sent to the Gentiles. Paul is sent to the Jew and the Gentile in Acts chapter 9. And in Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said he sent them to the Jew and the Gentile. Okay? What is he preaching to them? That Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures. Now watch what Peter tells these people. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And do you know that your new translations change the word may to so? You know what it's doing?
Yeah.
This world revival, beloved. We get everybody to repent, then the Lord's coming back. No, the Lord's coming back in his good time over there. And whether you repent or not ain't got anything to do with his time to come. Now watch what he says here. Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Well, they changed that word may to so. In other words, let's read it like the new translations are. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That's what Paul said. Now watch what they say. So your sins be blotted out. Now that ain't right. Your sins are gone, aren't they? Israel has got remission. We got forgiveness. They get forgiveness at the second coming, those that endure to the end. Now, come for time's sake, verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ already been down here one time, ain't he?
Yeah.
He's gone away. He shall send Jesus Christ, second coming. You know in 2 Peter chapter 3, they asked Peter, said, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things are like they were from the beginning. And he said, he's coming over here at his time, but he's coming first for the church, the body of Christ, at the rapture. This rapture and second coming are not the same. The Lord comes here, he sends his angels over here. Do y'all know how many times Paul uses the word angel or angels in Romans to Philemon? 13 times. In the book of Revelation that people say we're in right now, do you know how many times the word angel or angels is over here? 54 times in the book of Revelation. You'd think somebody would get the picture after a while. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, though we are an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. Good. He didn't say let her. You ladies, you ain't angels. Y'all know who angels are in this Bible? Men are angels. You don't find lady angels in here. It's men. Do you know why? Did it ever occur to you why men are angels? Let me show you something. I know I'm running around the circle here this morning, but let's do something. Go to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. And you can chase this, you can chase these angels all through this Bible until you get to Romans to Philemon. And about the only time you see Paul associated with angels, and you check it out in Acts chapter 27, Paul said, this night the Lord, his angel, talked with me. And they was on a ship headed to Rome, Paul the prisoner for us Gentiles. And he said, there ain't never a hair of your head going to perish. He said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am, appeared unto me this night and told me what we got to do. And I'm paraphrasing, but you'll find that in Acts 27. And when you find Paul with angels, it's always in association with Israel. Israel. That's why you find angels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why you find in Acts when Peter's in prison, there's a damsel that went, the angel of the Lord got Peter out of jail. And he's over there, and then people in there praying for Peter. And he knocks on the door, and the damsel goes there. And she goes back and says, Peter's standing there at the door. You know what they said? It's his angel. God forbid that there's an angel look like me anywhere. But that angel must have looked like Peter. It was Peter. It wasn't his angel. It was Peter. Now, Exodus 23, God's dealing with Moses and the children of Israel. He's brought them out of bondage. Now, verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of her. Sorry about that, ladies. Boy, howdy. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do y'all know, I got to stop right there. This is, to me, it's comical, but it's serious. You see, I believe a little lie is leaven. And I believe God told me to purge out the leaven. You understand? So I believe if I teach a child's class, I teach them the truth just like I teach you. Teach it on their level where they can understand it, but I teach them the truth. I don't tell them at the nativity scene, now you little girls, get your wings, get your mama to make you some wings and put your angel's halo on and all that. No, that's teaching them a lie. You understand? Angels are masculine, not feminine. Verse 21, beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Whose name is that? The Lord. The Lord. Now verse 23, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak. Who's doing the speaking? The Lord is. It's his angel. Well, who does the speaking for the Lord today? His ambassadors. Well, what is the ambassador supposed to do? He's supposed to do what his master or his head or his boss, whatever he is, tells him to do. If the Lord sends me over into Pritchard or Chickasaw or South Florida or North Carolina or Texas, what am I going to do? I'm going to preach the truth the same where I'm at. It don't make no difference where I'm at. I'm going to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And that ain't got nothing to do with those out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or those that Peter preached to in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, on up to 10. You understand? Those believed on the Lord. Those here believed in the Lord. Believe that when he died at Calvary, he died for their sins according to the scriptures. Now, verse 13 is the key to 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, listen to what he says. In whom, a reference to Christ of verse 12, in whom ye also trusted. Paul is not included in that. He's included in verse 12. Look at verse 12 again. That we, Paul, Barnabas, those that Paul went to, six chapters, six books that he wrote, to those who first trusted in Christ. Do you know what them people did? Go back to Galatians. Hold Ephesians. Go back to Galatians. Chapter 3. Now this is where some of the people get thrown a curve. And they don't understand the difference between those who first trusted in whom ye also trusted. Now, in verse 26, Galatians, did I tell y'all Galatians?
Yeah.
Chapter
yeah.
3, and I don't know sometimes what I mean doing, so y'all keep me straight. We won't do this right. Galatians 3:26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, not on, in. You understand? These believed on the name of the Lord. You understand? Peter was asked the question in Matthew 16, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, some say Elias, some are the prophets. He said, whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you'll find that over in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, all through there, believe on the name. On the name. In his name, these were healed back here. You understand? That's different. Now, in Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, there ain't but one baptism in Romans to Philemon, and it's spiritual. You understand? 1 Corinthians 12, you need to mark it and study it. 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile. Jew and Gentile, those who first trusted in Christ. Jew and Gentile, baptized into the body of Christ. Now, look what he says. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. In other words, those that are spiritually baptized into the body of Christ are no more Jew or Greek. You understand? They are Jew and Greek flesh baptized spiritually into a spiritual body. Therefore, now, in the spiritual body, they are no Jew or Gentile. They lose their identity. You understand? Anybody got a question? All right, let's move on. Verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Now listen. You've got to make up your mind. This has got to be a spiritual body. I'm evidently, truthfully, looking at male and female in this room that claim to be saved. You are still in the flesh, male and female. But in the body, which is a spiritual body, you are have no identity as a male or female. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, watch what he says. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. Ain't that what he said?
Amen.
Are those who first trusted in Christ, are they heirs of the covenants of promise?
Yes.
Thank you. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom, reference to Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that, ye. Paul ain't saying we no more. And do you know your new Bibles takes out the gender and all that kind of stuff, and they leave out the pronouns and the nouns so you can't tell who God's talking to? Confusion. You know who the author of confusion is?
Satan.
God ain't the author of confusion. Satan is. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard what?
The
word. Heard what?
The
word of truth. Rightly divide what?
The word
of truth. In other words, we have to rightly divide these people here from these. God was not having all men to be saved when they was first trusted in Christ. Paul was not going to these Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise. Go to chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, same people in verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13, chapter 2, verse 11, look at it. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past, Jew and Gentile in the flesh. Uh-huh. He didn't say no. Don't put them in there. Don't dare do that. I know people that do. I know preacher's sons that do. I know grace preachers that put Jew and Gentile in verse 11 and 12. And it ain't no such a thing. It's those who first trusted in whom ye also trusted. And if you don't believe me, believe the book. Go back to chapter 1, verse 1. And this is where Satan started destroying it, right here in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, which are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Is that what your Bible said, young lady? Anybody's Bible in here say that? If it did, I'd have a garbage can over here. Do you know your new translations do that? You know what that destroys? That destroys the whole context of six chapters in Ephesians. Look at it, what Paul said. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, comma, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Two groups of people, and they ain't Jew and Gentile. It's those who first trusted in Christ, which are Jew and Gentile, baptized spiritually into one body, whom these here are now part of that body. Not by covenants of promise, but by the mystery of the gospel. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, Paul ain't included in this, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, verse 12, that at that time of verse 11, time past, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. When did these people have a hope? Somebody tell me. When did they have a hope? When Paul preached the mystery of the gospel to them. Go to chapter 6. Go to chapter 6. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, Paul's asking prayer, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What is the mystery of the gospel? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Look at it. Go to verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He didn't say for us. He said for you, the ones he's writing to. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why Christ in these people? Before Paul preached the mystery of the gospel, they had no hope. Israel is low amp. You know, I wish you could get them. You know, I'm like old Paul. If I give my body to be burnt, would it help you to understand this? Those who go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at the terminology. Now, you know, I believe words in this King James Bible need to be left alone and believed just as they are. And you can't miss what you're fixing to see. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, we're going to start at verse 12 again. That we, Paul included, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, beloved, didn't nobody trust in Christ until the message was revealed to Paul in Acts chapter 9 that Christ had died for their sins. When he died at Calvary, he died for their sins. Whose sins? The Jew and the Gentile that was in the synagogue. In other words, when Paul first preached, he went into the synagogue where the Jews and the Gentiles were gathered together, and the Gentiles in the synagogue had to be allied with Israel to be in there. You understand? They had to be associated with Israel. They had to believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as in Galatians 3:26, 27, along in there. If you're Abraham's seed, then are you heirs according to the covenants or promise. But Paul wrote to these people here who were not in the covenants or promise. Now, Ephesians 1, verse 12. That we, Paul included, should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye... Paul ain't included in that. It's the ones that he's writing to that had no hope, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Paul ain't even included in the sealing there. Do y'all know why? Do y'all know who the first member of the church of body of Christ is? Well, is the first member the same as the last member? Is he sealed? You know where Paul's sealing is, and those who first trusted where their sealing is at? Can you show it to somebody? I mean, if you get into a confrontation about this thing, and you will if you preach the truth of the Word of God, rightly divide it. Let me show you where it's at. Hold Ephesians and go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. We're going to break into the context. Go to verse 21, 2 Corinthians 1, 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. You know what the earnest is? It's the Holy Spirit. He sealed them by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption over here. You can't lose your salvation. Now, you can lose rewards, but you can't lose your salvation. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. This is very clear. Now, you saw the we in verse 12 and the ye in verse 13 and the sealing of those in verse 13. Got my tongue hung up. Those in Ephesians 1:12 are not included in this sealing here. Why? They are already sealed. All right? Verse 14, watch it very carefully, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Paul included back with all of the people here in whom we first trusted, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Well, what is the gospel of their salvation? that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures?
No.
No. If it were, these here would have been in the covenants of promise, beloved. And you know, I got thoughts in my mind that just run nuts with me, because my little old mind ain't too big. But if Paul is writing the Ephesian letter to people that had no hope, that were without God in the world, and had no relationship with Israel, and if all of these Gentiles are the same as they, want you to believe that we are in the covenants of promise and that I'm supposed to claim Abraham as my daddy? Where are these Gentiles at, and who's going to go to them that are not in the covenants of promise? Would you please? And it ain't because they ain't saved. It's because there ain't no Gentile to bless Israel to jealousy no more. Why? Israel is Lo-Amni, not God's people. He is not dealing with Israel after A.D. 70. Titus and the Roman army destroyed Jerusalem. And after that, there are no more healing. You know Paul healed when those who first trusted in Christ. He spoke in tongues back here. And he said, forbid not to speak with tongues. You know what? These people over here that claim that we're in the covenants of promise and claim Abraham as our daddy, I don't ever hear them speaking in tongues. I don't ever hear them taking up a collection on Monday morning, the first day of the week. Well, really, today is the first day of the week. But do you ever see them collecting for the poor saints in Jerusalem? Those who first trusted in Christ, it was their obligation, their duty, Romans 15:27. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, Paul said, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, why would the Galatians be in this order? Because they claimed Abraham as their daddy. They got salvation through the fall of Israel. Now, it's their duty to bless Israel, the poor saints at Jerusalem, to take up a collection for them. So if we're all in the covenants of promise, and there ain't no difference between us, where are these that Paul's writing to that had no hope? Who's going to go to them? You can't go to them in the tribulation over here, because over here in the tribulation, you got Moses and Elijah that's going to come, and they're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom over here, looking forward to the second coming. Y'all know the verse in Hebrews 9:28, don't you? Y'all don't know it? Let's go look at it. Hold Ephesians. Go to Hebrews 9:28. I know what them people are looking for after the tribulation. I know what people are looking for over here in the tribulation. And if I were over yonder, which I ain't, but if I were, that's what I'd be looking for. The second coming. When he'll take away my sins. You see, my sins are already took away. He don't see my sins. He sees me in his beloved son. I am in his son. I am baptized into his son's body. I am a part of his body. And Ephesians is very clear about that mystery. He said this is a man and a woman get married and these two are one flesh. And he said this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, all of us are in one body, which is his church, the body of Christ. Now, in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. When did he ever appear to the church, the body of Christ? Would you please tell me? Well, if I'm in the book of Hebrews, he said he appeared to me one time. If he's going to appear to me the second time, he can't do it without doing the first time, can he? Because if he don't do the first time, it won't never be the second time. It's always the first time. Do y'all understand? Got to do the first one first. You bat the ball on home plate. Do you run the second base? No. You know why? They'll call you out. You got to go to the first base first. did he say that they are looking for him to appear the second time?
Yeah.
How? Why? Without sin unto salvation. He said, this is my covenant unto them, a new covenant over here, if you please. He's made the old new. Now, there's a verse in Hebrews. He said, that which is old is what? Ready to vanish away. The Old Testament ain't vanished away even over here yet. It won't vanish away until the second coming. Now, let's look what Peter's looking for. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Paul said we're looking for the Savior to come, change our vile body. Philippians chapter 3, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. I don't look for no angel. I look for the Savior. These people are looking for the Lord to send his, he's coming down in the clouds to set up his kingdom, and he's going to send his angels down here. They're going to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and bind them as the chaff is bound and thrown in the furnace. The good ones go into the kingdom over the thousand-year millennial reign. And you know, after, you know, while this is going on, Satan is bound in the bottomless pit. Well, he ain't bound in the bottomless pit today. Paul told you, put on the armor of God. You can withstand the wiles of the devil. You know where the wiles of the devil's at? Challenge you to study 2 Corinthians chapter 11. They're in the pulpit. You don't have to go to honky-tonk to find them. Go to the local church. He's standing in the pulpit. You know what they're doing? They are denying the power of God. What is the power of God? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has shed blood. Do you know most all your Bibles leave out the blood in Ephesians 1, 7, Colossians 1, and Colossians 2? That's a shame. Shambles. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. In other words, 1 Timothy is written to the... 1 Peter is written to the same people that 2 Peter is written to. Verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. We're not apostles. We're ambassadors. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days of the tribulation over here, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, Peter, Acts 3:19 and verse 20, he said, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive. And it did. It received him out of their sight. He's coming back down in the cloudy heaven over here. And from that point, he's going to send his angels down here. And they're going to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. And you'll find that in Matthew 13, Matthew 24, and other places. He'll bind them and throw them in a furnace of fire over here. And they'll burn forever and ever and ever. Now, one last thing. My time, that clock's fast up yonder. Go back to Ephesians. That clock. Russell got that thing on 220 over there. I'll tell y'all a story about a clock when I ain't got time. Chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, well, we done read the cause in first chapter 1 and chapter 2. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for all Gentiles.
Oh, no,
for you Gentiles. Paul became a prisoner because he told them people in Acts 22 that he was going to go to these low-down Gentiles over here that were not in the covenants of promise. And they were not allied with Israel. And they said, not so, Paul. It ain't fit that you should live. And Paul became a prisoner from Acts 22 to the end of his life. He was a prisoner for us Gentiles. The Christ in you? Christ in me? the hope of glory, low down sour snake that I am, Christ in me, God loved me just like I was. He didn't love me after I took a bath with a soap and a scrub brush and washed all the dirt and the mire off. He loved me just like I was. I ain't got to do nothing. He's done it all for me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I appreciate y'all for being here.
Amen.
You're good.